It's time for the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, or maybe you listen on 100.3 FM. You could be listening there, or you're listening on the app, WROLradio.com. Well, it's December. It's getting close to Christmas time, which means we're broadcasting live from Auto Toys in Randolph. Seems to be a yearly occurrence. So we're at 517 North Main Street in Randolph. If you're in the area, stop on by and say hello. Auto Toys, their specialty this time of year is remote car starters. They have a pretty neat deal where they have some boxes all wrapped up, so you have something to open up under the tree. It's not the car starter you get when you have it put in your car, but they also do all kinds of stuff: car alarms, car audios, Bluetooth, HID headlights, satellite radio if your car doesn't come with it. A little bit of everything here, including solving some problems. We'll talk to Dave, the owner, in a bit. So we have a lot of stuff going on. Also, we have Junior D'Amato is going to be joining us shortly, talk about what's going on in the shops these days. Junior's an automotive guy. He's a car guy. He's got some collector vehicles that are real interesting. So a lot of stuff. Always an interesting guy to talk to when we talk to him about what's going on in the industry. So we'll be talking to him in just a bit. And also, we just put out a study this week about AAA illuminates the dangers of driving with cloudy headlights. If you've noticed the headlights on your car are starting to turn kind of white and frosty looking, well, that's pretty common. And we just did a study that shows that if your headlights are all kind of tinted over with the plastic lenses are all getting kind of aged from ultraviolet light. In some cases, it's blocking 80% of the light hitting the road. So you're only getting about 20% of the light lighting the road, which means you can't see very well. You add that on top of the idea that many cars today, the low-beam headlights don't do much good at over 40 or 45 miles an hour. So you start to block some of the light, and you're driving out with your low beams on at 50 miles an hour, and you wonder why you can't see that well. And for the same reason, what happens is people say, well, you know, those other cars on the road, they have those bright headlights. Well, some of it, they seem bright because yours are so dim. So that's one of the reasons. And there is ways to try to fix it. You can either replace the headlight assembly completely. You can replace the headlight assembly with an aftermarket assembly, which does a pretty good job, not quite as good sometimes as the factory one. Or you can try to clean them up. And there's a variety of different methods, including literally sanding the plastic down with very, very fine sandpaper. That works to get more light on the road so you can see where you're going. And then afterwards, you have to coat the lenses with almost like a wax that prevents the UV light from attacking the plastic again and trying to get some more life out of it. But if you've been driving around with a car with dingy headlights, you know how much of a problem that can be. And walk through a parking lot someday, and I noticed it the other day at work. I bet one out of every four or five cars in our parking lot at work, the headlights were some mixture of being kind of cloudy and not looking in really great condition. So that's one of the things we need to look at. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, should you want to give us a call. And we're waiting to hear from Junior D'Amato. Dennis is going to give him a call. We have Junior D'Amato on the phone. Good morning, Junior.
Hey, top of the morning, Mr. John. How are you?
Good. How are you? So, I was going to say I'm broadcasting live from Auto Toys in Randolph. You're broadcasting live from Junior's Automotive in Middleborough, right?
Yeah, that's where we're at. We're just doing one of our most famous and fabulous jobs, drilling all broken studs on a Ford.
Oh, well, there you go.
Manifold. Oh, my God. What a disaster.
So, You know, let's talk about besides rust and corrosion, which we're seeing an awful lot of. What other kind of problems you're seeing in the shops these days?
Well, you were mentioning about the quality headlights. Big deal these days. Like you said, there's a variety of different products. You start with some light sandpaper, 3,000 grit sandpaper, and then you start doing it. It does take a good half hour to 45 minutes per light to do it right. Once you're done with the sealant, you need to go forward and then put a leather coat of wax on it. And then I tell people to buy a can of Pledge or anything that has silicone in it. And on a regular basis, guess what? Just go out there with a towel or a T-shirt or any kind of cotton and clean those headlights. So they do make a big difference, number one. Number two, a couple of years ago, we used a lot of the Silver Star lights by Sylvania. And those things are DOT legal, unlike some of the other lights that you see for sale out on the internet and stuff like that, the real bright white ones. And those Silver Star lights, they work really well. The only downside to any kind of upgraded headlight is about 250 hours of operation. And they tell you right in the package when you buy it, that's the life expectancy, which is a lot shorter than the factory gives you, Kind of crazy.
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's just like high performance tires. You don't get the same life out of them that you do out of a regular set of tires. High performance headlights, you have a little less light out of them, right?
Well, yeah, you get a lot less longevity. Now, the high performance tires, that's a whole nother ball game. I thought that the snow tires were just a different aggressive tread pattern. It has a lot to do with the rubber in the tire as well. So that makes a big difference. Summertime tires are great for the summer, but boy, they certainly don't work well in the winter.
No, I remember, I tell the story a lot, I was driving an Audi A6 with all-wheel drive, and it had the summer tires on it, and it snowed that day. I drove it to the end of my street, turned around, and brought it back because it was so bad.
It was
undrivable. It really was. It was in tough shape. So, what are some of the tricky things you're seeing? I mean, the technology today is getting more and more difficult. We were talking the other day, IATN and Identifix are a good place to do research. And now it seems like a lot of times you're doing research on all kinds of different repairs, right?
Well, it's amazing, John. With Identifix, 25 years ago, they were just in their infancy, and they have come so far ahead. With the International Technicians Network and Identifix and some of the other stuff, and don't throw your nose up at Google and YouTube, because anything you and I have done, John, someone else has done it, and they've done it and they've done it and they've done it over and over again, and they kind of make the perfection in it. It's like we got a Honda down here that our friends at AAA towed in, and it lost the timing valve out on the highway. Is it or is it not an interference engine? Well, you can flip a coin. In some cases, the valves do crash. In some cases, they don't. So it's, you got to end up at least putting a belt on it and cranking it over to see what's going on, or at least put air in the cylinders, but that's really not a good way to do it. But it's amazing all the stuff that we are seeing in the automotive industry today. There's no more, just put a set of plugs in it or whatever. Everything has really changed over the years.
Yeah, it really has, and you talk to people, and it really is. It's not the, remove and replace it. It's you got to really spend some time and diagnose these cars and figure out what's wrong with them.
Majority of cars today that are 5-6 years old, John, have a bad ground wire somewhere in the harness. Batteries are another thing that you need to have a good battery in a car. Most of the cars you can toss in a battery that's going to be a little better and heavier than the one you took out with more amperage. But if you do have like some of the BMWs and Mercedes, you have to actually go in and program the ECU for that particular type of battery with the power, whether it's a lead acid or an AGM or a dry cell, whatever you're going to put in there. It's pretty amazing what's happened with this stuff. And battery voltage has a lot to do with operation of the ignition system in these cars with all the gadgets and computers.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, I got an email from somebody the other day that was having a problem. They were getting a warning on the, I think they had a Chevy Tahoe or something, and they were getting a warning that their trailer light wiring was an issue. And I said to them, well, the real common one on that is it's a bad ground. And I said, it's a bad ground right from the factory. It's when they attach the ground to the extra wiring harness, the... they didn't do a good job of cleaning it up and then painting over it afterwards. And I said, go in and take a look at it. The guy actually had it at a shop. They ended up looking at check engine light issues, which had nothing to do with the trailer light wiring. Mm-hmm. And he said he went home, he looked at it himself, he took care of it, he just drilled another hole, mounted the separate ground wire for the factory trailer hitch wiring, regrounded it in a different spot, all his problems went away.
Hey, I got one for you. You're going to love this. I had, in the past year and a half, I bet we've had 6 or 7 Chevy full-size express vans that sometimes have a no-stock condition, sometimes have no fuel pressure. And what happens is you get the car in, you put it up on a lift, and guess what? The vehicle starts up. On a lot of these vans, on the passenger side, between the chassis and the body mounting, there is a ground strap that deteriorates, just like the ground strap that deteriorates on a lot of the Honda vehicles underneath the hood, the older four-cylinder Civics and Accords. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is, and we're seeing, and I think some of what we're seeing, you know, you're talking about corrosion. One of our listeners has a Mazda 6, and it's got, you know, it doesn't have a ton of miles on it. It's a 2009. It was recalled because the subframe is all rotted out. And yeah. Mazda gave them a loaner car, and they said, we don't know when we're going to get the parts in for it. And, you know, when did we ever see rust like that was so bad that, you know, the car couldn't be driven?
No, 2011 Jeeps are kind of the same thing. The Jeep Compasses, same thing. The subframe's rot out on those things, and that should be under a recall, but it has not been recalled as of yet. So we just keep moving forward. But the industry that we are in today with the automobiles, people now are being forced to actually fix their cars and make the repair, whether it's for an emission-related issue or a drivability issue or that pesky check engine light issue. It's people have to fix their cars. And, you know, I get people coming with a check engine light. Well, it's nothing. I had it down at the shop, and they checked it out. They said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, look, if it wasn't a problem, it would not be on. Whether I fix it or you fix it, someone's got to fix this thing. So, I mean, it goes on and on.
You're not going to get an inspection sticker either, so.
Yep. Now we got 2004 vehicles as of January 1st, will be exempt from that pesky check engine light. And next year, 05, year after that, 06. So, you know, you can put a sticker on these cars with a check engine light as long as they're not compliant to have the check engine light not illuminated when it comes time for that sticker. And then you get the people who disconnect the batteries or shut their lights off for a sticker. Well, I don't have a check engine light, but I got a rejection sticker. Yeah, someone disconnected the battery or cleared the light. Yeah, I did.
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the rules have changed a little bit about airbag lights, too, because now if the car is more than 10 years old and it has an airbag light on it, you can still pass it now.
That I don't understand. I don't understand that, but that's okay. And the ABS light, I do understand. But, you know, we keep moving on and moving on, and we're seeing it's a tremendous amount of cars out there today, Johnny, that people aren't buying new cars. They're leasing them for 2 or 3 years. And what happens is you lease it for 3 years, 2.5 years into the lease, you get a call or an email saying, look, we'd like to buy you out of that lease and get you into another new car for less money and no penalties. What a great idea. And that's what people are doing now. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a great idea, but you kind of wonder for that first 2 or 3 years they've owned that car, have they really done any basic maintenance to it? But I guess today's cars, you can almost do nothing to the car for a couple of years, and it's still a pretty solid car when you're done, right?
Yeah, pretty much they're driving them. I mean, we're seeing people that come in, well, it's time to change the oil. It's been a year. Well, you know what? You got to do it at least twice a year these days. You know, you can't run this annual oil change thing. It doesn't work. If you're going to keep the car, if you're not going to keep the car, then fine. You know, but if you're going to keep the car more than 3 or 4 years, because that's when you start seeing the problems. About 4 years in ownership, you start seeing all of the little solenoids and valves that are all oil pressure controlled and electronically controlled through oil pressure start to go bad. And of course, the Chevrolet had all those little four-cylinder engines that didn't work. just all gummed up, and
yep.
you know, they ate a lot of them, which is what they should have done, and they did.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other night with the Iron Duke. Remember the Iron Duke?
Yes, that's 100 years ago.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, there was some, and you kind of look back at, you know, especially some of the GM stuff, and you kind of wonder, you know, where they went and what they were doing with it. And near the very end, they actually, you know, they maybe got it just about right, and then they could do away with it. So.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, General Motors has had some issues. We wrote a little story about that about 3 weeks ago. And the problem with GM, Ford, and Chrysler is the white-collar workers at all their parties and all their golfing events and blah, 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 they just don't get what the real person wants. GM, Ford, and Chrysler have literally shot themselves in the foot and elsewhere with their cars and the way they build stuff. You look at a Toyota or a Honda, now you look at Kia and Hyundai, you've got some fabulous, fabulous automobiles. You look at Ford, GM, and Chrysler, you know, unfortunately, they can't build a car like they should anymore, and they never did. All they had to do was take apart a Corolla with 300,000 miles on it that runs perfect and say, wow, where'd we go wrong? You know, everything from the Shinsu brake lines to the tinny oil pan covers and the valve covers to all the junk that they shoved down our throat, and now they're paying the pipe in the tune. You know, yeah, they build a nice truck. Chrysler builds a great performance car. Chrysler's the only one, I think, building performance cars right now. The Camaro and the Mustang, well, they're okay, but you can't beat that Challenger. And when the Challenger comes back in another year and a half that goes on a 500-pound diet, it's going to be one heck of an automobile, even more so than it is now.
Yeah, it is one heck of a car now. And you mentioned GM and Ford, how they're, you know, they're discontinuing all their sedans. GM's dropping the Impala. GM's dropped one of the Caddies. Ford's only going to make a Mustang, and that's about it, I guess. Lincoln's still going to have their sedans, but you wonder what's going to happen. And you know exactly what's going to happen. It's Mazda, Toyota, and Honda are going to all of a sudden be the big sedan company. Everybody's going to go, what happened to the U.S. automakers? Why is this happening?
Sure.
It's because they let it happen. Yeah, they let it happen.
They let it go right by them. And they just, I don't think, really thought years and years ago that these import cars were going to do what they do. I mean, you get into a 5, 8, 10, 12-year-old Camry or a Corolla or a Honda, and the seats are still in great shape. You get into even a BMW that's 4 or 5 years old, or even some of the Mercedes that are 4 or 5 years old, or any GM Ford and Chrysler car 4 or 5 years old, and the seats are terrible. They're putting crappy interior parts in these cars. Even Mercedes has some really crappy, you know, very, very thin leather that's very hard, and it all cracks. I mean, look at the bolster seat on just about any car out there, with the exception of what I just mentioned. And we see it every day.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at all the same problems, John, on all the same cars, over and over and over again. You know, we're looking at wheel bearings that deteriorate on a lot of stuff. The ABS tone ring deteriorates on a lot of the wheel bearings. The hub and bearings go bad on these cars. I mean, some of it might be installation error from the technician not using a proper torque wrench, but the majority of stuff on a lot of these cars is sub-quality parts right from the get-go. That's too bad.
Yeah, it really is. And I was talking with the guys here at Auto Toys about sub-quality parts a little earlier, and you know, you talk to people, and they're like, oh, I can buy that ball joint for $12 online, or I can buy this, you know, pretty inexpensively, and you get what you pay for. You get junk.
Some of the stuff that you buy at some of these mail-in online stores, you get the part, and there's movement in it already. You put the part in, and within 90 days, you want to bring your own parts, John? I'll be more than happy to put it in. And you know what happens? 6 months later, oh, Jesus, the thing failed. Can you replace it? Yeah. Well, is it going to cost me? Yeah. Why don't you buy a good one?
Yeah.
You know, take the brake pads. You can buy brake pads $8, $10, $12. I mean, all over the place. There's no DOT certification on brake pads. I put brake pads on a lot of our Ford Transits, which aren't bad, the big Dodge ProMasters and a lot of the Chevy vehicles, and we're paying $75 to $100 for a set of pads, and you get the same crappy quality. You got to buy the good stuff. You buy it once and you forget about it.
That really is true. There's I was talking to somebody who bought a set of ignition coils online, and the factory coils were, I think, $100 a piece, and they bought all six coils for like $100. And I'm like, you're just not gonna, you're not gonna get what you, you're not gonna get what you think you got.
Nope. We tried that on a BMW for a gentleman. He brought his own coils, and I says, you know what? These are not gonna work. What happened within 60 days? He was back. He says, take them out, get the right ones, put the right ones in. I'll send these back to the company I bought them from.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. I mean, it's terrible. But there is
a
big difference. Yep. Same thing with drive axles. Mm. You try to put a aftermarket drive axle in a Honda Odyssey or one of those larger Hondas, you got to take them out. The vibration on and off the gas at 45 miles an hour is incredible. You put a set of Honda axles in, and guess what? The problem solved.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
you know, tell people...
But
It really is.
Although I was looking at, I replaced the filters in my wife's Volkswagen, and I ordered them online, and they were exactly the same filter made by the company who made the filters for Volkswagen.
Yep.
So and they were about a third the price, but they were right down to the only thing missing on it was the name Volkswagen on the side of it, but it was exactly the same German filter maker that makes them for Volkswagen. So
man makes a
but
nice
that's
filter,
not,
I think. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what it was. And that and but that's one of those things that it's you never know what you're going to get sometimes, and you have to take that chance. But even I've seen people order cabin filters online, and the filter doesn't quite fit, and then they wonder why they're getting dust and dirt inside the car, and just having all kinds of problems. And I even saw one fall out, and it dropped down, and it jammed the fan and caused the fan to act up. So you got to be careful with these aftermarket parts.
Yeah, it's really incredible. But you know, the industry that you and I are in, there's always going to be cars. There's always going to be people calling Mr. John for information, and there's always going to be people that go to companies like Auto Toys to get remote car starters put in and upgrade radios and things like that, and maybe some splash guards and all that other stuff that's out there. But the car companies, they want to put people like him out of business. They want to put the cost out of him from the factory. They want the high output radios from the factory, and that's affecting a lot of these guys. You know, and you got to just diversify and move on to deeper and other items other than putting in the cost starters and the audio systems, because some of today's cars, the audio systems are tied into the ECUs, and without the proper amplifiers and adapters, these things don't work properly in the new cars.
And it's funny. It's even stuff like high intensity. Going to LED lights, and you go to an LED light, and if it's a lighting system that's tied into the computer system, all of a sudden now you replace this. You put an LED headlight bulb in, and next thing you know, you get a check engine light that's on.
That's exactly right. And there's so many of these LED lights online. You see all these cars with white headlights that are very, very bright, aftermarket headlights. They are not DOT certified, but they do light up the gosh darn road like crazy, and it's amazing what's going on. I think for around here, though, people want to go down and put stuff in their car. One of the best things any person can put in their car, if they don't have it, John, and once you pass 40, is a heated seat.
I think 40 isn't the only thing you have to worry about, but yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hey, and you were telling me the other day you got one of your toys coming back home, don't you? You got the Viper coming back home.
The car is left Texas. It's on its way back here. You'll be back here probably Tuesday from a place called RSI in Texas. Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting. Plano, Texas is where it's been for the last year and a half.
Yeah, that's a car you've owned for quite a long time.
That's been around since 1996. That was, believe it or not, Herb Chambers' own personal little toy that he beat the heck out of for about 3 weeks, and he got tired of it, I guess.
Yeah, and you had it, and it's been in a variety of places, right? It wasn't out in Hennessy.
Hennessy
had it for a while.
One time. Yep, yeah, Hennessy actually goofed up on it, so they had it twice. The Chambers organization sent it back to Hennessy. They got it. We got it back from them. Then we wanted to say, you know what? It's too loud. It's this and that. So we put a couple of turbos on it, or they call them air dryers. And then, of course, you have to do a little bit of other internal to it. And Now we're into, what, 2018, so the computers back in that day just changed the signals a little bit. Now it actually has a real online AEM computer that you can tune from a laptop sitting in the car. So it should be pretty interesting and much easier to drive.
And what's the horsepower number at the rear wheels?
It's going to be right around 934, according to what they said, and that takes into consideration the slippage from the big tires spinning on the dynos. And we were at the Lipper meeting, the Christmas party, the other day, and I was not aware, talking with Brian, and he was telling me that they use now hub-style, you know, dynamometers, where you actually take the tires off the car, put them and bolt a the dyno onto the rims and then you onto the lug nuts there, and you get absolutely no slippage, so you get the real number. So, you know, a lot of these cars that are pushing 700-800 horsepower, they could actually be pushing more, but the dynos have a tendency, the tire and the wheel, to slip a little bit. So, you know, who knows? But it should be an interesting car to drive.
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Lones. He is a New England Motor Press member, and he kind of came out of, and he will tell you that's probably not true, but he kind of came out of nowhere. He had his website Bang Shift, kind of a high performance website. Then he ended up on cable TV, on a cable TV show. Now he's on Motor Trend TV with the show Put Up or Shut Up. So he's all over television these days.
Yeah, he actually started his career, believe it or not, as a youngster over at New England Dragway, playing with cars, and then, you know, calling some races up at New England Dragway when there was no one actually up there, and someone grabbed onto him and put him into a national celebrity, and I'm really happy for him. Good guy. He's got some kids, and he's having some fun living right here in the Avon area, which is really good.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy, and yeah, he's going to be a Fox Sports announcer now for Fox Sports Racing. So, and he's just kind of a regular guy, just a fun guy to talk to, and real knowledgeable about the stuff he knows about. So,
kind of like
nice
us,
to
John.
See
you. You know, he's like us.
He's a young version of us.
Yeah, a regular guy who just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and remembers where he came from, remembers what he does, and just a good guy who'll help anybody out that he can. So that's a good thing.
That's right. Hey, I know you got to get back to work, but let's give the shops a plug. High Park on River Street, right?
Yeah, we're
1818 River Street is
53 years in High Park, John, and the lights will be going out sometime, we hope, in April, to relocate down to the 34 Bay Shop down here in Middleborough once they get the building up and running. And it's been a fabulous 50-plus years in High Park. I hate to see it go, but at my age, I can't do the drive anymore, unless you want to get me an Uber every day.
Yeah, I don't know. No, then you're still stuck in traffic, no matter how you look at it. So, as soon as they can figure out how to, you know, put that tunnel in that goes right from your house up to High Park, you'd be.
Ooh, fine. Wouldn't that be nice?
No, yeah. So, but the shop in Middleborough, you're just about tripling the size, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a very large shop. There'll be over 22 lifts, which is it's dealership stuff.
Yeah. That's bigger than some dealerships. So
that's a big shop
down there, and it sounds like you're gonna be having some fun putting it all together too.
Yeah, well, the fun starts next week digging the hole, John.
There you go. All right, now let you go.
We will talk. All right, we'll say hello to everybody and tell all the listeners a happy holiday season.
Same to you. Tell Miss Collar I said Merry Christmas. All right, then. That was Junior D'Amato. You know him. He's an auto writer. He hosted radio shows for years. And, in fact, he's a guy who kind of got me to start to do this. Years ago, when it became part of my job, he said to me, you know, why don't you, if you're going to be on the radio periodically, why don't you... find a place to do it on a regular basis. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills, and maybe when we come back we'll get to talk to Dave from Auto Toys. My name's John Paul. This is a Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Boston. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. And we're broadcasting live from Auto Toys in Randolph. Auto Toys in Randolph is at 517 North Main Street. And their website, autotoysweb.com, you can see some of the work they do. And let's see if we can get the boss over here and talk to us. Since we're sitting on his chairs, you know, so at least we can do. Have a seat.
Sure.
Let's see if we get microphones to work for you. And
yes, yes.
Yep. Dennis, everything sound okay?
Sounds beautiful.
Dave, sound okay? All right, perfect. All right, so that time of the season again, huh? It's remote starter time of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a little low.
Get a little closer to the microphone for us.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, it's you do an awful lot of them, and even though a lot of cars today have factory remote starts of some sort, or you can buy a subscription and use a phone based remote start, you're paying a monthly fee, and you can do all that and more with a one time purchase in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah, we replaced probably almost a half a dozen factory remote starts just in the last few weeks because they perform so poorly with range and you know how many cycles you can use and that type of stuff. So people like the aftermarket ones better. They're less expensive. They're less likely to go wrong, and when you have to get them repaired, they're less expensive. We do the smartphone-based systems too,
yep.
Which, again, much, much less expensive to run our smartphone-based stuff. Sometimes you can even get a year of service
yep.
included. So we do a lot of those. And, again, the startup fees are much less expensive from us as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about range. And yeah, some of the factory remote starts, if you can see them, you know, it's see the car, it's fine. But if you want to try to start the car from, you know, inside a building or someplace else, they're just not going to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even our remote starts, our entry-level ones, we have upgrades to those that still keep the price very reasonable. They can give you half mile, 1 mile of range. The remotes themselves will confirm back to you. So you'll know on the remote that you've used to start the car that the car is running. And, again, there's no fees or anything involved with those. And customers really like those.
So if you're at the Patriots game and it's cold and it's miserable and you want to start the car up 10 minutes before you leave.
The remote might get that one. Yeah. You could be parked quite a few
yards away. Well, if you're in the good lots.
Exactly.
And, you know, you had a customer in here earlier that had a very elaborate stereo system in a Porsche 911,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted you guys to fix it.
Yes.
Do you get a lot of that?
Not a ton, but when it comes along, we can do the original installation and we can repair if somebody's done it wrong.
Yep. And you guys have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I've been in the business since 96 and been the owner here for almost 15 years.
Yeah, and a lot of your help has been here for almost as long, right?
Yeah, two of my guys over a decade and the other one a half a decade.
Yeah, that's a good number for today. And I noticed backup cameras are getting smaller and smaller. I noticed you have a license plate frame one that it's not that big gawky thing hanging off the license plate. It just looks like a little chrome frame.
Yeah, we do a lot of the little micro cameras now, the frame built-in cameras that are hardly noticeable, and we even do like custom cameras for pickup truck tailgates and certain vans and commercial vans that you won't even tell that they were ever even there.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty amazing stuff. And all the speaker upgrades, as good as stereos are today, there's a lot of speaker upgrades that you guys can do and make a good system sound even that much better, right?
Yeah, you can keep the factory stereo in the car the way it looked from original, and we can hide the speakers behind the original grills, and for a small, you know, increase in cost, we can make everything sound better.
Yeah, it's really good the way all the stuff works. And I know you have a couple of customers here, but you guys, when you do the installations, I've seen some installations that people have hacked into wires and done a lot of bad things, but you guys have plug-in harnesses or special connectors to make it all work, right?
Yeah, anything that's available in the market we use that will allow us to plug things in. If we have to tap things in, we still try to avoid ever severing or cutting the factory wires.
Yeah.
We just do a tie-in style install, so it never takes away from the original factory.
Which means that in a year from now, it's still going to work the way it's supposed to, and not like some installations that a year from now, once the connections get loose and stuff just doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. 5 years, 10 years from now, even if our wire failed because we never severed the original factory, it can never inhibit the car.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, let's go back to your customers because I see them there, and maybe pop over again before 10 o'clock to say hello, and we'll talk a little bit about AAA just did a study recently about faulty headlights, and I know you guys have upgrades.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, that was Dave from Auto Toys. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about what's on your mind about cars and car business and other things. Toyota advances to replace Takata airbags in about 65,000 vehicles. Toyota said it's advancing by a year, plans to replace defective airbags in 65,000 Toyota and Lexus vehicles. Said this just this past Wednesday. The Japanese carmaker U.S. subsidiary said the recall is being announced a year ahead of December 2019 timeline and would involve replacing Takata airbags that previously recalled and replaced with non-Takata airbags at no cost. The recall announced on Wednesday affects certain Corolla, Sequoia, Tundra, and Lexus vehicles. And they're looking at replacing them, and they Takata filed for bankruptcy in June last year after recalling more than 100 million of its airbags inflators worldwide, as they could inflate with too much force and spray metal fragments around the inside of the car. We'll have to wait to see. Takata's assets earlier this year were merged into Key Safety Systems, a $1.6 billion transaction. The combined entity is now called Joyson Safety Systems, and it's got a Chinese subsidiary that's taken part of that. So here's an interesting headline. It says, ex-Porsche CEO tries to save combustion engine from scrap heat. Using pulse microwave to ignite fuel rather than spark plugs or glow plugs, MWI microwave ignition engineers say they can cut consumption of gasoline and diesel by as much as 30% and emissions by as much as 80% because the fuel burns at a lower temperature. The German startup has won some powerful backers, including shareholder former CEO of Porsche, as tightening emissions rules force the car industry to embrace battery power. A German startup says the technology to give the internal combustion engine a reprieve, they're using pulsed microwaves to ignite the fuel rather than spark plugs or glow plugs. The engineers behind the MWI microwave ignition say they can cut consumption of gasoline and diesel by as much as 30% and emissions, which is one of the reasons to go to electric. By as much as 80% because the fuel burns at a much lower temperature. The company, based in a small Black Forest town, has won some powerful backers. Among its shareholders is the former chief executive officer of Porsche AG. MWI has mandated a investor company to look for a buyer and international partner that can help promote the new system and increase its financial firepower. It'll be interesting to see what happens. There's a quote here, and it says, "I'm convinced that MWI is a disruptive innovation with huge market potential." So we'll have to see what that all turns out to be. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we take a call or two? Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Hello?
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 Hi there.
John, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, there's a little feedback on the phone here. Very good radio when you and Junior get together.
Yeah, he's always got an interesting take on a little bit of everything, whether it's the car industry, car repairs, or life in general. So.
Yeah, well, he's still turning a wrench. He's kind of into the the trenches.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
The question I have now, the next problem on my old Jeep. When I start it up cold, I get a good oil pressure. It's up at like 60 pounds, nice and, you know, the engine's cold. And as it starts to warm up, then it drops to where I think it's somewhere where it should be normal, like 30 pounds. And then if I start driving it and, you know, back, it drops way down to like 5 pounds as it seems to get to running temperature. Is that too low? Very low. You know?
Five pounds is pretty low. So
that pressure was there originally when I purchased it when I noticed it. And then I did some work on the front end. I had to take the get to the timing chain and so forth. And I had the actual gears. You know, I took them out of the pump, the oil pump.
Yeah.
And really, visually nice and tight, nothing wrong with them. You know, beautiful and everything. So, does that mean worse problem?
Well, it could be because the big contributor that holds oil pressure is main bearings of the engine. So if there is a main bearing that's starting to get a little bit of wear, it is possible, that's where your oil pressure is going. If the oil pump sounds like it's doing its job, because like you said, when you start it up, it's when the oil's a little thicker and colder, it pops the oil pressure right up and keeps it right up the way it should. And then, as it gets as it starts to cool off, as it starts to heat up and the oil gets a little bit thinner, well, there's part of the problem. So at this point, I guess I'd really want to see what the real oil pressure is. I mean, you're kind of guessing with the electronic gauge.
So, well, I don't have any. I changed it out. I changed that out.
Oh, okay.
Because when I originally got it, it had the electric, and then I switched it over to a real manual one, a little tube. And
oh, okay. Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because of that, I'm saying, so that. Yeah. So I think that's verified for the most part.
Yeah. So, And when you run the engine idle up a little bit, does the oil pressure come up?
Yes. Yeah, if I revved it, if it was at that point where I'm losing the pressure, it's getting very low, and I do rev it up, it goes up a bit. You know, you can see it increasing some poundages, yes.
Yeah.
But not a real lot there. What I was wondering, because of that, if that heavy, them stabilizers you see, it's like a thick, something like that. I wonder if they have any effect. Or is there anything you could wash the engine out through the bearings, or is it just the bearings are, what are they, worn or whatever?
If the bearings are worn, if it is actual, wear and tear in the engine itself, there's not going to be anything you can do other than, So,
okay.
Unfortunately, that's the case. So,
Now, all right. So, on the scenario, let's say that I'm doing my little driving and plowing, and I notice the pressure is down. So, the worst thing. So, if I kept at it, right? I mean, the engine could seize, or you could do more damage to the bearing. I mean, if it's at a point where it's going to rebuild.
It's not going to get to that point. But you're going to, as the oil pressure starts to drop to, 3 or 4 pounds. Now, keep in mind, if this thing just had an oil light in it and didn't have a gauge, the oil light probably wouldn't come on until about 5 pounds of pressure anyway.
Mm.
So. If all you had was an oil light, you wouldn't know any different anyway.
Yes.
So I think at this point I'd kind of just keep an eye on it and see, if you start to see it when you start it up in the morning and you start to see it, the pressure really start to drop down a little quicker, then I'd maybe get that much more concerned about it. But
wasn't anything good cold, at least if it wasn't anything, the pressure was low cold. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So
that's where I was going to with the fuel before, because like I said, it was having the flooding and fuel getting in there. I was hoping that it was thinning out the oil,
it's actually the minimum oil pressure at idle is 4 pounds. At 3,000 RPM, 25 to 80 pounds.
Okay, but if it's not going up to the 25-80, then you really got to
Then you're starting to have a little bit of a problem. Yeah. Now, what are you using for oil in it?
10 40. What I did last year, I had some 1030. I bought a jug. It was like $5 of castor oil. They were just getting rid of the line, and it was synthetic. Yep. It was 1030. Mm-hmm. So I put that in, and I did have, my neighbor had some of that stabilized, that heavy stuff, about a quart of it, and we dumped it in there. But I never really got to really use it because we didn't get any more snow. And that's why now as I'm working on it, I'm revving up and seeing it's going back to its old tricks or whatever, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
I do want to just change it up. Would it be better, 1040? Which is
I would use 1040, and, you know, I'd stay away from using stuff like STP or any of those things, although, you know, it will thicken up the oil and it will raise up the oil pressure a little bit. But I just use the 1040 regular oil in there and see what happens.
Would I do any harm, or I baby it like warm? What if I went to like a 1050? Just saying, where I only use it in the driveway. I just wonder, is that not good?
Yeah, that'd be fine. If I didn't know better, I'd say, well, you know, put 2050 in it, and the little thicker oil is going to make up for some wear and tear, but it also is going to start a lot hotter in the cold weather. So,
right. But I can use it every day, so it's just one of those. Okay, I got you. All righty.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
all right.
Thanks again.
Well, good luck with it.
John. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I think we have another call. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Morning, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is John in Norwood.
What can we do for you? Hey, John.
I have a 99 Maxima, and the other day I noticed a little drip of coolant on the garage floor. So when I'm crawling around under there today looking for the leak, what's the range of issues I could be looking at, do you think?
Well, it could be anything from simple to not so simple. It could be just a radiator hose that started to leak. It could be a radiator that started to leak. It could be a variety of different things. Where on the ground does it look like it's leaking from? Is it near the front? Is it under the middle of the engine? What do you think you see?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out the other day. I mean, it could be hitting some piece of plastic shielding and running back, but if that's not the case, then my guess is it's not directly under the radiator. It would be more under the engine.
Is it more like right side or left side of the engine?
I'd say it's pretty much center.
Really? Okay. Well, in that particular case, I guess I'd just get under there and pull that plastic shield that's under there off and see what's going on under there and see what it is. But you know, my first thought was that what's probably wrong with it is it may need a water pump, and if it is a water pump and it's leaking down from the side of the engine where the fan belts are on, and then it could travel across that plastic shield that's under there. And, you know, if you need to put a water pump in it, you're probably looking at $100 to $160 for the part, and probably 3 hours or so labor to replace the pump. But the best thing to do would be to pressurize the system so you can check for other leaks and problems and see where things are leaking from. But like I said, underneath the car, there's sometimes a crossover tube that runs around, and it could be that. It could be a coolant sensor that's started to leak. But my first guess, before I thought of something terrible like an engine block problem, or even a core plug that started to leak, is probably a water pump.
Water pump, okay.
Yeah. And like I said, to replace that, you're looking at probably $450.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, for water, there be any other symptoms, any other noises or smells?
No, not really. I mean, you could get a little smell if the antifreeze hits the hot exhaust. You could get a little bit of a smell that way. It's going to smell like maple syrup burning off. It's going to have that little bit of a smell to it. But short of that, that's really about it.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you look for?
Thanks. All right, good luck. Let us know what it is. All right, you too. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Where are we going now, Dennis?
We have Robert in Tingsboro, who's been patiently waiting.
All right, let's see how our buddy Robert's doing. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. I'd like you to give me your opinion on, you know, today's modern vehicle with fuel injection versus the old carbureted idling them for, you know, long periods of time. Is there more detrimental in the older vehicles, or is it the same?
Oh, it's a lot more detrimental with the older vehicles, both yeah. what's coming out of the tailpipe and what's going into the crankcase. Today's fuel injected cars, the fuel is much more precisely metered, so you have less fuel ending up in the crankcase than you did with a carbureted car, where you know it could be anything, you know, good or bad. It could be anything that the fuel is diluting the oil, and you can have all kinds of problems, and you know, you can have a lot of things going on at that point. So, you know, the other thing was back in the older days when cars had carburetors, you'd start them up and the carburetor choke would stick partially open and you'd be almost flooding out the engine. Today's fuel injected cars, you don't have that unless there's a bad sensor or something else that's causing a problem. So it's much more detrimental for the older cars than it is for the new ones. Years ago, I saw a survey or a demonstration done, and it took, and this was probably 2005 or something, and they took 50 Ford Mustangs and had them idling, and there was less tailpipe emissions from the 50 Ford Mustangs than there was from 165 Ford Mustang.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, the reason I ask, you know, my wife seems to think that I'm running my vehicle to warm it up. Well, you know, the first 60 to 90 seconds, I'm letting the idle come down from, say, 1,500 back to 800, because I don't want to engage its transmission at that RPM, you know, damage, maybe, you know, put some strain on the clutches and the ring and pinion and U-joints. I'm not warming the thing up by any stretch. I know better. But she seems to be under the impression, and I do it with her vehicle, too, because, you know, depending on temperature, it takes a little longer to kick it back down before I engage the transmission. And I wanted her to hear your explanation, but she went shopping.
here's what happened. If you get in your car, and some people still want to warm up their car for long periods of time because they think it's good for the car. Well, it's not really necessary. But that minute or so, by the time you get in the car, start it up, put your seatbelt on, get comfortable, turn the radio on, by then it's usually kicked down enough where it's lowered the engine idle, so you're driving away and everything's good. You know, what a lot of people make a mistake of, they warm up a car for, you know, 20 minutes, and then they get in and they drive it, you know, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and that's no good for the car because the rest of the car, the bearings haven't warmed up, the brakes haven't, everything's, you know, especially when it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, that's tough on all of the lubricants in the engine that haven't been able to gradually move and start to flow the way they should. So, yeah, that's... That's
absolutely
one of those things that's always,
I was just wondering, my particular, you know, idiosyncrasy of letting the idle come down, is that a good practice, you know, rather than engage it as soon as it fires up at 1,500?
You know, 1,500 is not really that fast, so, you know, could you get away with, you know, putting it right in gear? Sure you could, but waiting a minute or so for the idle to come back down isn't going to hurt anything, or, you know, is it going to help anything? It can't hurt. So when you have your foot on the brake and you go to put it into reverse or drive, you know, at 1500 RPM, when it clunks into drive a little bit harder, does it wear a U-joint? Does it wear a, you know, does it wear a differential gear? Does it wear a side gear in the differential? Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, over the life of the vehicle, if you keep it forever and ever and ever, it might make some real difference. But for the most part, probably not. Not a ton, but but it can't. What you're doing certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to see if your opinion and mine were similar. You going to be on next week now?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say otherwise. I'd wish you a Merry Christmas. Okay.
No. I'll be here next week. Even though I have, I came home yesterday with what seemed like the one-day flu, feeling a little bit better today. But boy, it was a tough day yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
That time of year.
It was something. I woke up in the morning, I felt great, or as good as I do, I guess. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't think I was going to make it back to work, and I got back to work and ended up going home early, which is something I don't usually do either. So
I think
it was just one of those things. But
yeah, take care.
Here at Auto Toys today, having fun. All right. You take care, Robert.
Bye now.
Bye bye. Yep. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we take another break, pay some bills? We're broadcasting live from Auto Toys in Randolph. It's your home for one-stop automotive accessory shopping for remote car starters, upgraded stereos, new speaker systems, headlight systems, all kinds of stuff they sell here. And it really is a toy shop for your car. And if you're thinking about any of those things, including a Christmas gift of a remote car starter, and as Paul Sullivan says, remote car starter, way cheaper than a garage. It really is. Why don't we take a break? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL or 100.3 FM. And we'll be right back.
And now the sun's coming up.
We got some mistletoe hung from the bow of the boat. Stockings are filled with sunshine rays. It's Christmas in Blue Chair Bay. There's lights up in every pond.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or 100.3 FM, either way. Volkswagen Beetle's going away this year, and they get some special colors for the last farewell. The latest final edition of the iconic Volkswagen Beetle will have special color and badging and wheels as the bug drives into the sunset next year, just as it did 15 years ago. So the first generation came out 15 years ago, came out with a second generation, and now it's going away, and we'll have to see where that's going to go. It debuted in 2011 for 2012 year. Volkswagen will end production for they're calling it the slow selling model, in hard top and soft top version and it was made in actually Pueblo, Mexico. Volkswagen sold 15,000 Beetles in the U.S. in 2017. Sales have fallen about 5.8% this year through November. And, the final edition is called the Ultimate Edition or Ultima Edition, and will rip a page from North American Beetle's previous final edition in 2003 by copying the final two colors, now called Safari and Stonewashed Blue. The 2019 edition will feature standard chrome treatments and body color side mirrors, special wheel packages, rear Beetle badge to replace the turbo badge on the tailgate, special seating and sunroof for standard pricing on the final edition. SE begins at $23,940, including shipping, and the convertible $28,190. So if you want to buy the last of something, buy the last of a Beetle and see what you got. And if you're thinking about driverless cars, Waymo will begin offering commercial robo-taxi service. Waymo One, with its self-driving Pacifica plug-in hybrid vans, they say about 400 of them that participate in the company's pilot program in Greater Phoenix, will have first crack at using minivans. And human safety drivers will remain in the vehicles just in case. And out of government news, the president's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said to the White House, wants to end subsidies on electric vehicle purchases. Kudlow didn't provide details on what the White House would do to eliminate or change the tax credits, which would require an act of Congress. Experts doubt the sweetener can be changed by executive order. So, some little news there. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to John in Arlington. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning. This is about my son's car, so I don't really have all the answers, but he has a Honda Odyssey,
okay,
which has well over 100,000 miles. I thought maybe 10, 12 years old. But what happens is,
okay,
he gets up in the morning and tries to start the car, doesn't start. And he goes out and he charges a battery and off he goes for the day. So now what he's doing at night, he's disconnecting the positive side of the battery. He gets up in the morning, connects it, and away it goes. So we're just wondering where he could start. You know, unless something's draining that battery, right? You know. So.
Yeah, it really is. It's called parasitic drain when there's some electrical system that just causes something not to shut off on the car. And it could be almost any number of things. It could be a dome light is staying on or something like that. What I would start with is just do the obvious things. You know, when it's dark outside, go outside and see if there's a dome light or a courtesy light somewhere on the car that's causing that kind of problem. And you might see something that's kind of obvious that, you know, is one of those things. Then after that, there's any number of things after that it could be. And you can, you know, what would happen in a garage is they'd hook a meter up to it and they'd check for parasitic drain. And the first thing they would do once the system is all gone to sleep, because what happens is there's a lot of systems that stay kind of up and running, and once it's gone to sleep, they'll go and they'll see that there's still a draw on the system, and then they'll start pulling fuses out one at a time to at least come to the point where it's not working. You know, you watch it drop down to zero. So there is something, you know, there is something going on in there. So
okay, so I think the obvious thing is go out there at night and see if you see something. You know. But
yeah, yeah, that's the first place to start.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. Can I ask you one more question? Have you
all
seen
right.
the new
sure.
RAV4 2019? RAV4. Have you seen that yet?
Only in pictures. I haven't seen it in real life yet.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot for the information.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. All right. Thanks. Take care now. Bye bye. 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. Is how you get through. Hey, Dave, can you stop over again?
Sure.
All right, let's talk to the boss again here and see what he's got going. He's writing down lots of things. He writes a lot of stuff down. That's what I know.
It's called appointments.
Is that what it is, appointments?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Well, that's good. Appointments
yes.
are good. I notice, I've been coming here for years and years and years, and you guys seem as busy now as you did when I first started coming here.
Yeah, it doesn't ever seem to let up. It changes to different things, but we stay very busy. We try to be a good shop where people want to come and spend their money.
And I notice there's a lot of people that come and just buy some stuff off the racks. You know, stuff that they're in the middle of a project. They're in the middle of doing something, and I know somebody just left with a little package or something. And
yeah, I mean, they come in for tools and parts, wiring, RCA cables, different things to do their own installs too, and we supply that as well.
Yeah, no, that's great to see. And I mentioned before you left last time that AAA just came out with a study about headlights and how over time the headlight lenses get all cloudy and dirty. And as part of that, there was another study that was done that said most cars with the low beams on, over 45 miles an hour, you can't see where you're going. You're overdriving speed-wise. You're overdriving how bright your headlights are. But you guys have some headlight replacements that provide more light on the road without being obnoxious, right?
That is correct. We can help with older cars that do have lens issues. So that is a something that we do. We have a place close by that allows us to get them at wholesale, so we can help with that. But for cars that just need help with their lighting, we can change the bulbs out. We're going to upgrade them to LED, and they're going to be much brighter, whether you're 20 years old or you're 75 years old, anywhere in between. We can make it so it's a lot easier to see while you're driving at night.
Well, between the time you're 20 and 60 years old, you need three times as much light to see. And whether it's on the road or, you know, in your kitchen, you need three times as much light to see. So
agree.
So, and when you're 80 years old, you need four times as much light to see. So having more light on the road is a good thing. LED headlights, when they first came out as an aftermarket replacement, especially if they were wired into the computer system of the car, they had some problems. You put a bulb in, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, a check engine light would come on.
Yeah, they were too efficient. The computer couldn't tell they actually existed, so they thought the bulb was actually blown, and so they'd throw a check engine light. Nowadays, they use special boxes called igniters, which help to keep the computer in check.
Happy.
And it's really amazing. It uses less energy. They are wonderful for low beam, and people are buying more and more high beam versions too, because when you're out on, you know, roads in New Hampshire or back roads in Massachusetts, it's great to have that super bright help to see, you know, deer and everything else that's coming at you.
My wife in my car, actually, but she drives it more than I do. She said the other day, I don't think the backup lights work. And so I said, well, let's find out. Car's new, they should work, and they do work, but they're not very bright. Do you have LED replacements for those too?
We do. Yeah, we do quite a few reverse light upgrades, much less expensive than a headlight. So definitely something we can help you out with.
And is that just a plug and play kind of thing, or is that something that requires an igniter type thing as well, or is it
usually not an issue for a backup light? The hardest thing is the car itself could make it more difficult to access the light, but most cars aren't that big of a deal.
Yeah. So I could actually fix her problems then.
Absolutely.
Or just tell her not to back up.
Yeah. Less than $100 usually.
Yeah.
Installed.
Yeah. Installed. There we go. And it is, you know, it is remote start season, and you guys, I noticed you guys still have your pre-wrapped Christmas present boxes.
Absolutely. We do the work of wrapping the gift for you, and if you can't get here before Christmas, you'll be able to come after, and they'll still have something under the tree that they can open up, and it'll have information on making the appointment. It'll say congratulations. It's something physical you can touch and feel. It's not just a gift card, which is kind of a little, you know, blah, compared to having a nice wrapped gift, which we take care of for you.
What's in the box?
Old school dummy remotes, some fake wiring, some paperwork. So it looks like you're getting a real remote start when really you're going to get the real one when you come in.
Yeah.
But something physical to touch and hold.
And speaking of remote starts, there's kind of the inexpensive way where you have a remote for your car, but you have an add-on little thing you keep on your keychain. But you can also go as far as replacing the factory remote with one that incorporates a remote start by adding an extra button. And now all of a sudden you're just carrying around one fob instead of two, right?
Depends on the car. If it's a push-to-start car, you got to keep your fob. Yeah. If it's a car with a key that has the buttons built into the head, still going to have to carry that. So it depends on the vehicle.
Yeah.
We can add it to the factory remote, but usually we'll recommend a small separate remote because our remotes have 10 times and more the range than the factory remote has.
That's, you know, 10 times the range. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So that's the range of, you know, being in a restaurant and on a cold night and hitting the remote start and going out and getting into a warm car rather than one that isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as we pointed out, year after year, remote starts, a lot cheaper than a garage.
Substantially less expensive than a garage. Even if you've got a full-featured remote start with all the bells and whistles, it's a lot less than a garage.
Yeah. And how about can the aftermarket remote starts be incorporated so the seat heaters come on and that type of thing, or that depends on the car?
It depends on the car. If the seat heaters work on timers, then no. But if they work on an on and off, we can adapt them so that can be the case.
Yeah. So you can get into a car with warm seats. And speaking of seat heaters, do you guys do those?
We do not.
You do not? Well, you know.
They're very specific on the cars that they work in and what's easy and what's not. So because we don't do leather kits and seat kits, we don't do the heaters.
Yeah. I was just curious where, you know, trying to keep people warm. And I noticed you guys still carry the full WeatherTech line of mats and visors and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Lots of WeatherTech. We do a bunch of Christmas gifts and year-round gifts for floor mats, floor liners, the custom liners, and the rain guards.
Yeah. And one thing I learned when I was here many years ago was the Magnuson-Moss law, or Moss-Magnuson, or whatever combination it is, that when a dealer says, no, you can't have a remote start because it violates the warranty, and unless we put it in, somehow that's okay. But that's a bunch of nonsense.
It is so funny you say that. I had a customer in the other day who called in advance, said her son was coming in to get her Christmas gift, that she wanted us to stop him because she talked to the dealer, and the dealer said it was going to void the warranty of her car. I educated her on the Magnuson-Moss law, and she called Nissan Direct, Nissan USA, and they said that the dealer was lying, that it would not void the warranty. Mm-hmm. And she came in and got the remote start from me.
And you do a lot of installations for dealerships, right?
We do a lot of installations for random car dealers and private car dealers and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I got to grab
the phone. There you go. No, that's fine. Yeah. But yeah, no. Auto Toys has a little bit of everything here. It's always great to come here and see the guys here and all of that at the same time. So our phone number 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Next week we will we have some more auto show tickets to give away. We'll give those away next week, not this week. So Dennis, calm down.
Thank you.
You were nervous for a minute.
I was
next
there.
Week we'll do it. And also we also have some tickets to the flower show and the golf expo. So only because I ran into the person who runs those shows, which is the same person who also good morning, which is also the same person who runs the car show. Let's talk to Richard.
Hi. I just acquired a 2011 Jeep. It has the original battery. Should I start looking for a new one?
If it's a 2011 and it's got the original battery in it, I think it's time to think about a new battery.
Yeah. Do that, or should I?
Sure. No. We if you're a AAA member, if you call AAA up and say, "Hey, I need a battery for my car," we'll come out and we'll put in a battery that's better than the one it came with. And if for some reason that battery is in good shape, we'll come out and test it. I'm going to learn about it this week, but we have a new battery testing tool which everybody tells me. We have looked at different developments of battery testing tools over time, and I remember the first battery tester I ever had was a great big thing that put a big load on the battery. Then the sort of smaller, cheaper ones, it had an electric coil that would get red hot that would put a load on the battery, and then they went to an electronic version. And some were part of a scan tool, some were separate. We used a very fancy one that could actually print out the test results, and now they have one that is a little tiny thing. It hooks up. It's connected. It's easy to connect up to the battery, but it also runs a couple of apps on a phone, so you can actually scan the battery that is in the car. It'll tell you exactly what that battery is, and then you can test it and see what kind of shape it's in. So one way or the other, like I said, you can call. AAA and have them come out and test it, or if necessary, they can replace it. And they can replace it with one thing I like about our batteries as opposed to other batteries is that we only keep them on the shelf for about 6 months at a time, and then we send them back to the factory. I've been in auto parts stores and even some of the big merchandisers like Walmart, and you look at the date tag on the battery, and the batteries might have been sitting on the shelf for a year or so. Well, you know that battery's not as fresh as it could be, and it could give you some trouble.
All right. I'm going to do it before it hits something below zero. Next question. I have a housemate that only drives 2,000 miles a year. How often should he change the oil?
I would still do it once a year.
Once a year in a filter?
Yeah.
I told him to hurry up and put some mileage on it.
That'd be a smart thing. Maybe go to Florida a couple times a year or something.
go anywhere.
Be the best. You go anywhere.
Or just go into Boston and stuck in traffic.
Yeah, right. You know, 2,000 miles a year isn't doing, you know, and chances are that 2,000 miles is very short miles. It's, you know, a few miles at a time.
Yeah, it's about a mile and a half each way. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the worst kind of driving for a car because it never really fully warms up. And no matter what, the oil gets contaminated with gasoline, antifreeze, condensation. And when the engine doesn't warm up fully, you end up with this sort of sludgy mess in the oil pan. And those are the kind of cars that sometimes people go more than a year. But as a bare minimum, I would get the oil and filter changed at least once a year. Just because it is going to get contaminated from that short distance trip. But yeah, the best thing to do would be drive that. For somebody who only drives a couple thousand miles a year, it might be cheaper not even to have a car and just rely on Uber or Lyft or a taxi cab.
How about this? Come March, turn around and get an electric car instead.
There you go. There you go. Do it before the end.
You're going to have 4,000 miles on this thing, and it's going to, you know, why not go electric? Because you're the candidate that they hope to sell it to.
I'm seeing more and more Nissan Leafs on the road. Used Nissan Leafs are actually a really good deal right now. And we're seeing every car maker coming out with some sort of electric car, whether it's the Chevy Bolt, which I have yet to drive, but I've been told it's a very nice car. And the other thing about the one thing I did got a note from one of our listeners or readers or something that said the only thing with the Chevy Bolt was the mileage was about 240 miles between charges on a nice day, but in sub cold temperatures last winter, it dropped down to about 150 miles, which it was even a little bit lower than I thought it would. I didn't think it would go quite that low, but you know, that's something to keep in mind. But for somebody who only drives a little bit of miles every day, an electric car would be fine, or even a plug-in hybrid, something like a Toyota Prius Prime. They're doing away with the Chevy Volt, which is actually the last generation Chevy Volt is a really nice car, and you might be able to get some good deals on that. But having a gasoline engine car that only goes a couple thousand miles a year is not good for the car and not good for anything, really.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll be in touch with AAA. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good enough. Thank you, Richard. Bye-bye. Chevy launches a year-end employee pricing campaign. Speaking of things, Chevrolet, as you've probably seen in the commercials, has launched a national employee pricing sales campaign on all 2018 and some 2019 models through the end of the year. Employee discounts offered to the general public are typically effective or in increasing short-term sales and clearing out older model inventories. However, they have also been criticized for cutting into profit margins and pulling sales forward. The Chevrolet exclusive employee discount for everyone includes the lease and purchase of all 2018 models and 2019 Equinoxes, Traverse Colorado, and outgoing Silverado 1500 Limited models. The deals run through January 2nd. The campaign is modeled on a program from a year ago, which, their words, very successful in strengthening the brand and connection with customers. Last year's promotion, he said, led to a fantastic December and robust January. Chevrolet following the industry's sales record. We'll have to wait and see. Many GM cars are discounted between nearly $4,000 for a Spark mini car to more than $8,000 for an Impala sedan. Crossover and SUV discounts range from about $4,000 for Traverse to more than $11,000 for a Tahoe or Suburban. So I guess if you want to buy a GM car, this would be the time to do it. Hey, I heard our buddy Sully's in the studio.
Well,
is that true?
I must have driven right by you in Randolph there. I forgot
you have
in your annual pilgrimage down to Randolph today. I forgot.
That's right. And it's and as you pointed out, I've stolen your line twice today. Remote car starters cheaper than a garage.
Yes, Dennis told me about the attribution. I appreciate that a lot. The copyright. Yeah. What do I get revenue for this? Some kind of royalty here?
You do. You get every time I mention that, you get an eighth of a cent.
I'm getting rich.
What's up? We're finishing up our 90 minutes here at Auto Toys, and it's been a pretty steady day here. People coming in, getting their remote car starters put in. People coming in buying accessories, just in here, just upgrading their cars. And when people say to me sometimes that, younger people don't care about their cars anymore. They're not personal. This a store like this completely changes this, because people who want to make their cars a little unique come to places like this and continue to do it, and they do care about their cars. And nobody names a washing machine or a vacuum cleaner, but a lot of people name their cars because they spend more time with their cars than their spouse sometimes. So.
Yeah,
so it's always sort of interesting.
And you and I have had that discussion before, and of course, I haven't named a car in a while, but when I was a kid, I did, because it was thing to do. I drove the Blue Bomber and the Silver Bullet and the Red Fury, yeah. But I never named one like JoJo or Wilma or anything. And it was never a real human name. No, just a nickname.
No.
But yeah, because you become attached to it.
You do because
what was yours? Come on, give it up.
I never did. I will say my very first car was a Rambler, and I because it was about the right time to do it. I called it Midnight Rambler because it was a Rolling Stones song. But
yep.
That was about it. But yeah, I didn't have my first few cars. It was a Rambler. It was a Ford Mustang, a 57 Chevy, some. Gigantic Pontiac Bonneville that I had for a while, and I never had names for them. But my wife, on the other hand, there was Beach Bunny, which was her previous car,
mm-hmm.
and then her current car, which is black with a beige convertible top, is Guinness.
Well, of course, that's great. That's
because
very creative.
It looks like a freshly poured Guinness.
Mm-hmm. That's very. Now so, she had one of the. Oh gosh, just had in mind the Chrysler the new Chrysler car.
The PT Cruiser,
right,
PT
yeah,
Cruiser convertible. Yeah,
did she name that?
Yeah, that was Beach Bunny.
Oh, that was okay. Because it was affiliated
I think.
With you're going to the Cape and being
Cape.
Spending time on the beach.
Yeah, and there was a tiny little bunny inside of it.
Well, of course. Hey, this is a ribbon engraving.
And
by
I think.
The way.
I know it is, isn't it? This is
Dennis
this is amazing.
On tenor,
this
over there, wondering this, exactly what we're going to say now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
this,
I have a trivia question
amazing.
For you.
Yes, sir.
Do you know, and this is for Dennis too, or anybody out there? Do you know who Thurl Ravenscroft was?
Not a clue.
Nope.
No.
No.
Really? You must have heard him about eight times this week. He's the singer. Well, the narrator. On You're a Mean One, Mr.
Yeah.
But you know what else he did? I just found this out, and I'm an old guy, but I just found this out. His voice, if you listen to it, it makes a lot of sense. He was the voice of Tony the Tiger there.
Yes, he was. Great. Yes, he absolutely was.
Yeah, same guy. And he got absolutely no credit for the Grinch song. None. Zero. They don't even say his name on the radio. I used to think it was Robert Goulet. But I was wrong.
Here's a sad but interesting note about me. I have never seen the Grinch movie.
Well, you're not in the same field that I am. I have to see it a couple hundred times every year. Just
a couple hundred times,
just to keep up with the kids.
Yeah. But no. People talked about it the other day, and I said, I've gone by it on TV. Maybe I've stopped for a minute or two and then moved on. But yeah, I've never seen it.
Well, one thing before you go, and I know Mr. Piano Guy's playing and all, but what's the coolest thing down where you are? Leave out the automatic car starter. What's the next coolest thing?
They have some speakers as big as my head.
Those are
Dennis'
install
in your car. That you can install in your car to get phenomenal sound.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they have speaker wire. That is the size of your pinky finger.
Well, why do you need a wire? You get Wi-Fi. You don't even need it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, you get this thick wire, so you don't lose any sound between your amplifier and your speakers. There's some pretty amazing stuff in here. And they also have a whole line of accessories for boats. So if you want a nice, cool stereo in a boat, but you also need it to be waterproof, they have that, too. So they have all kinds of neat stuff.
All right. Ahoy, matey. I'll see you.
All right.
Will you be in next week?
I will.
Here or there?
As far as I know, next
week. Or somewhere
next week. Next week, I believe it's just Saturday, so I think I'm coming in.
All right, I'll be here.
All right.
I'm here too.
All right, Dennis. Dennis, thanks for the great job you do. Paul
Dennis
Sullivan
is great.
And the Irish Hit Parade coming up next. The very best in Irish music heard here every weekend on Saturdays and Sundays on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to y'all next week. Bye bye.